The following is a presentation of the Black Hollywood Live Network, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. Hollywood, redefined. From Los Angeles, California, streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is Black Hollywood Live, The Beat. Featuring the week's roundup and commentary on music news. Black Hollywood Live, Hollywood, redefined.
You're listening to Black Hollywood Live.
And now, the host of Black Hollywood Live, The Beat.
Yeah. Go ahead, Queen. This is your theme song.
Cause my booty mass fat.
You got that.
Yeah.
Something
I got that big booty, right? You like my butt. You know you like my butt.
What up, y'all? It's your boy DJ Jesse Chan here in studio for Black Hollywood Lives, The Beat. I'm joined by my baby mama, you know, Miss Queen.
You know I'm in the building all day, every day.
Repping hard.
I'm still hungover high from yesterday, but it's all good. It's that Cali shit.
We got LA's favorite Poppy Watts in the building.
You see it.
Even though he rocking a Brooklyn hat. That's fine.
You know what I'm saying? I got rough for Queen one time.
All day. How's you doing? All day, even though I'm Queens, but I'm going to let you slide. I'm going to let you perpetrate today.
Open some events, but that's fine. We hype now because, you know what I mean? We came in with this song, you know what I mean? Because we got, he's a producer. You know what I mean? You know, he produces all your favorite tracks out there and whatnot, but he's also coming out. It's his own ish. Ladies and gentlemen, Sounds in the Building.
Oh, we got Sound in the Building.
Atlanta, we in the building, man. What's good?
I mean, talk about someone who makes some noise.
Yeah.
Welcome and thank you for coming through.
That's what my name is.
And I love that you came in flashing. I'm liking the style. But it's not OD.
You know, star, you gotta look simple.
They didn't even get to see the whole thing though, because he came in really with the brim on. You feel what I mean? He had to take it off for the mic. But he came in a fedora. You know what I mean? His shit was together. I feel that we respect.
You know, in the industry, appearance is the most important thing.
True.
First impressions is what's gonna get the people to like you.
True. But it's the sound that keeps you.
Hey.
So let's talk about. We got a lot going on this week in music. Random though. So hashtag MLK Now was a live stream, just kind of celebrating Martin Luther King. And whatnot. Creed director Ryan Coogler was interviewing J. Cole and ended up outing that he was married.
I think that's awesome. I think it's awesome that he... Yo,
is he?
My mic don't sound nice right now.
Check nice one.
My mic sound nice to you? Okay.
So is it true or is it?
I think it's true. He married his college sweetheart.
I thought they were engaged. I didn't know they were married.
He married her, secretly married her. He married his college sweetheart. Well, that's what they're saying in the media. Yeah. I think
he admitted.
I think it's beautiful. I think it's beautiful for him to marry someone who knows him and who he knows, as opposed to going out with all the trendy type of bitches to marry.
Yeah. I just think it's dope that he did it and no one knew about it.
Yeah,
because that's the kind of artist to me J. Cole is. Like, he didn't do no promo for the album.
He ain't doing
no promo for the marriage. But guess what? Y'all know about it. Y'all care about it. And y'all want to know more.
I love J. Cole. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got to keep that low key.
Man, he's doing his own thing. He's not following no one's
path. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, man. I mean, that was like a whole move. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Jay-Z, keep it on the hush.
Yeah,
keep it on the hush, man.
It might have been just like a little small family.
They probably went to the Justice of the Peace.
Yeah, they probably got it so tight knit over there where you can do a secret wedding and no one in there wants to even spread his business. They don't want to lose their job.
Exactly. Right.
Look at me. I'm sitting over here like, you know, they're all about love. Nope, that's what it comes down to. They don't want to lose their job.
It ain't worth it. $50,000 picture.
It's
not worth it.
It ain't worth it.
Talk about not losing their job. Rihanna Shaw ain't, because she was number one in the top 10 big name celebrities based on brand endorsements. She came in with a score of 367, which means she's 3.7 times more has more endorsements than any other celebrity. Now, they only did it for celebrities who have over 10 million followers. Mm-hmm. Rihanna came in number one, 367. Beyonce number two, 336. And following in third, which...
Kim?
No, Neo.
Neo who?
Neo?
Neo the singer?
Yes. What?
For most endorsements.
For
best selling endorsements. Yeah, apparently.
He has 10 million followers? I didn't know he had that many followers.
Let me look that up while y'all talk, because I didn't know he had that many followers.
I was like, the wisdom.
I think I'm following him, too. I don't know.
Blasted it up.
Congratulations to him, though, because that's huge.
Well, he is very clean cut, and he appeals to a lot of people.
Well, yeah. He came in tied with Usher, actually.
No, he only got 1.5 million.
Maybe the 10 million was a 1 million thing.
Maybe it was a 1 million. But this, I mean,
I'm going to say Neo don't got 10 million.
For him to be one of the number three selling brand endorsement.
That's pretty good.
Is it overseas, though?
It can't be here globally.
I didn't know Neil had that type of appeal.
Girl.
No, I'm doing his work.
Hey, they pulled it for the
This is 2016.
Okay. Well, based off last year's sales. Then following that is Wiz Khalifa, The Weeknd, Jennifer Lopez, Kevin Hart, Dr. Dre, and then Khloe Kardashian.
I would have thought the Kardashians
will be higher because they're really good with like
Khloe's.
Kim,
but come on, Kim ain't in the top.
Khloe's over Kim too. Yeah. And Khloe got it right now. Khloe,
I love her. She's my favorite, hands down.
But think about it. Kim has kind of, since she's had been married and the baby,
she came down.
Her look has settled down. It's hot, but it's
Kylie's taking her place.
I'm surprised Kylie ain't up here right now.
That's what I thought too. Yeah.
But congratulations to everyone who made the list.
Congratulations. Yeah. Y'all man, that's amazing. That's
money.
Huge.
Keep making y'all money.
Get that bread.
Damn.
Neo did do a lot of like liquor stuff too.
Did he really?
Yeah. Some other things.
And like watches.
He gets into other stuff, yeah.
If you really go through a magazine though, you do be seeing Neo in the most random things. You're like, why Neo want to come sell? Neo out here selling socks. Like.
With that beautiful smile.
Yeah, he does.
He has an amazing smile.
You know what I mean? Now he's selling the Wiz.
Good for him. All right. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God.
I don't even really want to talk about
it. We got to get into it.
This is the craziest shit ever.
So, I mean, it ignited when, it's just been going on, Maybach Music versus 50 Cent for a while now. But I'm just going to say, I'm just going to go off of what Rick Ross had initially said because I love Rick Ross.
It's just like, man, damn.
And now, Rick Ross sat with Vibe magazine. He said, I'm still enjoying my life when they asked him about 50 Cent. My kids love me. I'm blessed. You know, but when it comes to Curtis, it's just unfortunate. I'm not happy that his boxing company went under. I'm not happy that his clothing company went under. I'm not happy his record label went under.
Damn.
I'm not happy that he went bankrupt. I'm not happy that he doesn't have a relationship with his son. Damn. I admire him for being able to hold his head up in a city that has revoked all of his passes. We've had a quite enjoyable past, and I still smile when I see him.
Damn. That was shade.
That's murder.
He read him.
That's murder.
Wow, that's murder. Yeah, that was kind of crazy. Murder,
now, I'm always for a classy insult and a classy shade throw. To me, Rick Ross won this whole situation because he came at you with a diss in an interview in a classy way that it really don't even deserve a response after that. So what 50 did was he went to the playground to mess with Rick Ross's memes. Children, because that's how I look at this. Instead of dealing with the actual person, you're going to go to with Meek Mill, because Meek Mill dropped his 4-4 EP, which had apparently was just a, you know, hey.
Four songs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A couple, what is it, how many months later?
I don't know why people
were
confusing that.
Track?
They were confusing that with DC4. I'm like, that's not DC4. Right. Yeah. It says 404. Okay.
Yeah, it's like a prelude kind of.
Yeah. It was cool.
He had a diss track on there called Gave Him Hope, aimed at Curtis, defending Rick Ross. He said, I got 50 reasons say you're taking dick, and it's 50 reasons I should kill a...
A nigga?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, you never say the N-word. I'll say it for you.
Thank you.
Okay.
he then goes and talks about his debt and whatnot. 50 Cent went on to Instagram and called Meek Mill shithead a bunch of times.
Yeah.
And then the memes that are flying around.
Relentless. The thing about 50 is he's going to go in. Like, if you get in a beef with 50 Cent, he ain't going to let up on you.
I think 50 got some money hidden under some
floors. Of course.
50 Cent last year, 50 Cent is worth $155 million. Exactly, Meek Mill worth three.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's only because he's borrowing it from
somewhere.
Don't do that.
Smart.
Yeah, he's don't do that.
Smart team.
I love Meek Mill.
I enjoy some of Meek Mill's music.
People are hating on Meek because Meek is fucking that fat booty. They mad because he's with Nicki Minaj.
What?
And Nicki. They mad because he's with Nicki Minaj. Nobody started messing with Meek Mill until he got with Nicki. They mad because Nicki is holding that arm, walking with her head up like,
what did Drake say to
man.
Meek about Nicki? What did Drake say about Nicki and Meek?
Drake said about Nicki
before Meek started going him. When was Drake out here like, I'm mad. I'm so mad.
I think
that
Meek
50
should be just happy in his life.
Yeah, he is.
He shouldn't say nothing to say, hey,
because
man,
he was sucking on his lollipop like, yep.
I'm making money.
You're making money. Not only that.
I got a girl everybody wants. I'm making money.
Right. And Nicki Minaj was somebody who he dreamt of being with before she was obtainable to him.
So
right.
Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes.
I think Meek should have never brought up Drake's name or Quentin Miller's name. You should never did that.
He
kind of gets what's coming to him.
Can you give me the reference? What was the, like, really, where does that all
he
stem
got
from?
Mad
like,
because he said Drake he got mad because he said Drake wasn't tweeting about his album. He
right,
wanted
but it, so
he
it was
wanted
nothing
Drake?
That Drake fit actually
it wasn't even
came.
A real
no,
beef it,
no.
Was
it wasn't
over
a real
lyrics.
Beef
it was like over some like he seen somebody's name in the credits that, you know, he didn't want to know who was this dude.
So, right, I who's mean, writing gets, for him? Who's writing for, was it Drake? They right. were saying about, Meek was saying that Drake don't write his own stuff. Who cares? Who's really writing their own is stuff? It, they hire sounds.
Like, I'm finding a lot of ghostwriting.
You know what I mean?
That's real.
There's a lot of ghostwriting going on at the end of the day. That's how these people eat.
Rick Ross came out to say he was the number one ghostwriter in 2015.
I think they got Nas writing for Diggy Simmons. I think they have, like,
I mean,
you feel what I'm saying?
Diggy Simmons is bars and hard
to say. I don't give too much juice. Out, but the professionals use professionals.
The professionals use professionals who can afford. They can afford them. Like I know Nas is writing for people. I know Rakim, the God MC. I know he's somewhere writing for somebody on the low as well. Like
really?
You feel? I think so.
Where
I wouldn't
that?
Be so.
I feel like
where the fuck is that coming
maybe
from?
Maybe he know how to dumb it down. I don't know. I'm just.
I feel like Meek Mill needs to just stay out the bullshit, man.
I think Meek Mill needs to just.
A lot of people won't say, man. I mean. Because they got relationships. We all work with these people and things like that. But, man, it's just the truth, man. Like, when you throw a stone at somebody, it's going to be some sort of backlash. You know what I mean? So, you know, you come poking at Drake, and you get bodied.
That's the type of personality I am. I just never pick a fight.
You know what I'm saying?
It's not worth it.
Yeah, when you pick a fight, you don't know what you're going to get into. So, you should just never do it.
Don't do it. You know what I'm saying?
All right. So, moving on from that.
I think they all need to get out the high school playground.
50 and Meek thing is funny, but it's... Childish.
But okay, it is a little funny, but I just to this point after the whole Meek and Drake thing with the memes, like I don't know, like I'm kind of I wasn't laughing that hard. I'm
over it.
And then when from 50 and the Vivica thing, it's just like 50, just go sit down and do something.
50 is trying to keep his street cred. I love him though. He's representing my
making
slug.
Emojis and posting
right,
emoji
but
shit.
Some of that shit is funny though.
He's trying to stay relevant. So what do? You pick. Fights with people who are that one of the most posted people in the thank you, darling.
I feel it. I mean, that's what he did with Ja Rule.
Because Meek Mill is right, and Ja's one of my.
On top of that, Meek's on trial right now too.
Yeah, and so that's not. He don't need to be in this. He doesn't need to be in any beef right now. Because so he don't go to jail.
Exactly.
Leave him alone. God damn it, people.
Dude,
yeah, man.
And
it's
like
just more of it's more of a comedy thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just like, what about the music?
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Hey, but his tape went hard, though.
With the 4-4-4?
The 4-4-4.
The first song on there, everybody in my studio, I got a whole squad of, like, producers and writers and shit. And we was listening to Meek shit. We was like, we was all, our heads nodding. Was like, okay, the first song, at least.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he shouldn't have did none of the remixes or nothing like that. That's my only quell with it.
Okay, so when's the last time 50 drops on?
You just dropped a tape called Kanan. Tape.
And ain't nobody
and it's
heard
hard.
I know it probably is.
It's hard.
But
I
ain't nobody
impressed.
Pushing it, though. Nobody repping it. Nobody screaming about it. Nobody saying, yo, that 50 Cent shit
but
go
how
hard.
How can you pay attention to any of his music? Because you're paying attention to his Instagram.
Mm-hmm. I think 50 is so big where, you know, we seen your success. We good. We want to see somebody else get successful.
Successful, yeah. Right. I think he should just chill and enjoy his bread.
Yeah.
Did you get to check out the Kanye West facts?
Oh, I did. The Nike disc.
How'd you feel about that?
It was cool.
All right. I just wanted to get that in there. All right, so we get this normally every week I give you guys three music videos, but we all know that I do the Love and Hip Hop after show over at AfterBuzz TV. Unfortunately, I couldn't do Love and Hip Hop this week, so I thought I'd bring it on over here to the beat. And taint y'all heads with some ratchetness. But no, actually, I really want to get into this with you as a producer. So on Love and Hip Hop, and now I can actually, you know, sit with an established producer.
Yeah, they need to have established producers right on the show.
Right.
I just want to know so I don't, it don't make me sound like I'm talking shit, because as I watch the show, I'm questioning, you know what I mean? So as I sit in here, you know, I always question a show called Love and Hip Hop. Now, I feel like New York, this season, we get Remy Ma and Papoose. A legit visual of what I would think Love and Hip Hop should be.
Yeah.
Actually, real people were actually in the game.
Yeah.
Now, what it's kind of become is these random girls start coming on the show and these producers end up saying, yo, let's make some money. Rich Doll is being the king of them. Even though, well, he ain't really a producer.
He's mad whack, yo.
I think he's more like an executive or something like that. He just take that producer title, makes things happen.
I call him a vampire, but same thing. Yeah. He lurks on these young poor little girls. All right, so let's get into it. So these are the three main stars from Love and Hip Hop this season. We're going to take a look right up here. The first one is Mariah Lynn. So her first single was called Once Upon a Time, and it finishes, Not Long Ago, I Was a Hoe. So all of her songs
I've heard about this controversy.
Super ratchet. I'm not playing that track because she just dropped a video yesterday, and we're not going to play the full thing, but I got to say, the beginning, they start with a sample of what Bang Bang, Nancy Sinatra's Bang Bang, and whoever sings that, dope job. I'm assuming it wasn't her, but then she goes into this video. So let's take a look. The song is called Money Gun by Mariah Lynn.
You are thirsty. N-W-E-N-G.
I bust my money gun on these bitches. I bust my money gun on these bitches. I just stopped and reload, and I'm shooting everybody in the distance, and it sounds like
pow, 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 pow.
I bust my money gun like
pow, 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 pow.
I make it rain 100 inches.
I'm like, whoop, I got next. I'm hot, but your hot is like a hot mess. I get sponsored from Versace, I'm the top dress. Crocodile top, I'm the Loch Ness. Give me love. All my bad bitches, put your titties up. Money give me wetter than a sippy cup. They envy us, so they all envy us. That your Wednesday crush, sitting pretty in the Bentley truck. I start fashion trends. I'm everywhere, Mariah Lynn Kardashian. You never dare. I'm surpassing them. Run circles around them, then start laps again. See, it's a few queens and I come with them. Eat that truffle butter whipped cream when my hunger come. See, it's a new team and we number.
All right, Mariah Lynn, Money Gun. What you thinking
clap,
about?
Clap, clap, clap,
what
clap.
What you thinking about that right there? You clapping like the Money Gun?
No, I'm like the dude that's like the only one clapping in the room. That's, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, no.
You, know, like, you like that?
Kind of like her shows.
You know, I think it shows that she can get in front of a camera and just do something. So.
Her wardrobe stylist needs to be.
I'm political. I'll be saying the right answer.
Yes, you know. Yeah, you got to. You have to, because you never know. But
that queen don't got to do that.
I could give two shits about her.
No, I mean, honestly, it's cool. I mean,
it's all right, but her wardrobe stylist needs to be shot for that white outfit with that little thing thrown over. And you know, she.
All the girls,
all the girls are whack. I was just about to say she should have shot that shit in LA with the bad bitches, because all those bitches
look
whack.
Like they're straight from New York. No, Jersey. Like they were straight off the block.
No, they look like they from fucking Newark. Asbury
Park.
Or Asbury. That's
from some
the worst.
Park. They're from some park
in
New
York.
York.
Asbury Park,
don't
like 2005.
Asbury Park,
Park,
New Jersey.
Asbury, oh, Jersey.
Not New York. New
I got
York bitches would have looked better.
I'm from these.
Jersey fans.
No.
So I don't know. So here's the thing. That was a perfect answer, because I agree with that. There's something about her that I want to like. Like, it's almost like watching Hustle and Flow. You know what I mean? Like, you want to root for her. It's like, all right, little girl, like, you out here trying and doing something. Then after watching the episode and seeing, like, who her mother is and how she was raised, it's like, okay, I get the mentality now. But
I've seen videos, man, where, I mean, and not to even throw shade at nobody. I remember when I first seen Iggy Azalea. When I first seen
her first
video.
She reminds me of her.
But no, when I first seen Iggy Azalea, it was some video and it was a tan or teal blue car and she was colorful and she
the
looked amazing.
On?
It was something. On, I don't know if it's a pussy
was
song.
Was it with
but,
the children in it?
Oh no, that's the
on a it was on a really stoop.
They're like licking like yeah. pussy.
And
she's no, it was covered with something else. Okay. But I seen it and I was like, you know what? This is dope.
Oh, work.
I'm fucking with it. Work. Yeah, when
work,
I seen that video and I seen the slow mo, yeah. I was like, damn, this looks good. Like she's gonna blow up. You know what I mean? I just didn't see it with that.
And I don't see yeah. this. This is short lived.
But
right
I'm gonna
here.
Even get but reverse it past that because that was when Iggy got some coin. But compared to this girl who ain't got coin. But shout out to Nimi Hendrix because whoever this is, I just noticed did all three of these videos. So shout out to you getting so that network.
These are all
right
people
there.
That are. On the show, but they all use the same director.
Apparently, yeah. Okay. So then this next one, she's the most infamous off the show, Cardi B. Which to me is a hybrid between Jocelyn and Nicki Minaj that they have mutated together specifically. Like I feel like Mona Scott has been creating this girl in her basement for the specific season.
I wouldn't say Cat Stacks because she's more professional about hers, Cardi B. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, she ain't putting everybody's business in the street.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Did you guys hear about the beef between Cat Stacks and Cardi B, though?
No, there's a beef.
Cat Stacks trying to say she's trying to be like her, but Cat Stacks...
No, Cat Stacks said that Cardi B is not cannot be going around talking about she a hoe or a prostitute because she ain't never had a pimp. And Cat B feels like she's appropriating pimp and hoe culture.
No, man.
This is a real conversation. I lost 7 minutes of my brain.
I think Cardi's a real chick, and she's just outlandish, and she says what she wants. You know what I'm saying? But she's not no Cat Stacks.
Yeah. And Cat, I'm sure she ain't trying to take
Cat
that crown.
Cat Stacks. Ain't nobody trying to take that crown.
Right. You own that, girl. Right. Let's take a look at this. But maybe Cardi B wrote this song for you. The song is called Cheap Ass Weave.
The nerve of you bitches, like, oh my god, I got no words for you bitches. Like, who really serving you bitches? I need some answers, I'm worried for bitches. Like, this really absurd, no wonder these niggas stay curving you bitches. Don't even take no more selfies that weave, don't even deserve any pictures. Like, where do you buy that shit? Who really acknowledge it? What made you feel like that you would be lit if you wouldn't cop that shit? They told you it looked good? Wasn't you iffy? Oh, I know, they told you that you get 2 bundles for 50. Girl, you ain't low. I know how this go. Cheap shoes is okay, cheap dress is okay, but cheap weave is a no. Don't you do it to yourself, that's bad for your health. Don't fuck up your flow. Talk shit about me with your dusty ass weave, now you out of control. I'm Cardi B, I come through and I kill everything, everything, and that's a fact. Got me on my him and shit like blah, 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 blah. I'm fully reloaded, full clip. I cut to the chase, snip, snip. That we've gotta go, pink slip. Looking washed up, drip, drip. I can believe it. This is insane. How can you talk about me when your weave is inside of the grave? I can believe it. Or is it just me? But why all of these bitches just walking the streets with some cheap ass weave? Cheap ass weave. Cheap ass weave.
All right, Cardi B, Cheap Ass Weave. So you said you've heard the song before, song?
Yeah,
yeah, I like the hook.
Too.
That's it.
All right, wait. I have something to say now.
Oh, hey, coming from the hairstylist.
Now you see the difference between I look horrible today, huh? Thanks very much, Cheap
Ass
Weave. But Mariah, you can hear the difference in their look from who's from where. Mariah Lynn's from Jersey. Cardi B's from New York. Cardi B's flow is better than Mariah Lynn's.
Yeah.
Now I honestly believe that watching Cardi B, this is her beginning. I can see Cardi B a little bit with longevity in a rap game if she was to take herself a little bit more serious because she has flow. And I think that if somebody...
She reminds me of Beam Me Up Scotty Nicki.
Right, when Nicki first came out. So Cardi B kind of have somewhat of a longevity because she's a little nuts, but...
Playground.
But she I think people actually buy it. If it was good.
Yeah, if it was good, I think they'll fuck with... Mariah Lynn, no. Cardi B was dressed much better, like her shit was a little more together than Mariah Lynn. So I think out of... So far, Cardi B is I see a little bit of longevity in Cardi B. I think Cardi B will be okay a year or two from now.
Like, while she's trending, she might as well just like put a tape out.
Tape out, right, yeah. While she's trending.
She be trending a lot. I see her trending a lot.
Yeah, she trends more than anybody, though.
Yeah, she got a brand going. So
yeah, she has
gotta
a
work
brand.
The brand, shorty.
Yeah.
She got over like 1.something million followers.
Yeah. Right?
What are you thinking, Poppy?
I think that, she said she got flow. She could have tightened up the bars a little bit, but yeah. I mean, that's just like... getting with the right team or whatnot, but she's popping, man. Like, you can't hate when you do what you want when you pop.
Yeah. I'm just gonna play this said it best. Off the computer real quick.
She's popping.
I wanted to play that because that was an official one of hers. But so she's on this this mix. Well, it's actually a duet. N.O. Corleone and Cardi B. The song's called "Know the Difference." Just listen to her flow real quick. It's gonna sound really low, but.
Is so New York.
She got a good voice.
You like Dominican or something.
Yeah. Yeah, she's from the Bronx. Have to be.
But this flow is a little more grown. It's more,
She has potential to do well. She has the sound, the flow, or whatever.
She should be with a rap crew.
She should be. Yeah. Yeah. Right. She has the potential. I think she has the potential to do well.
So now the third, she's from Harlem.
Okay.
And,
so Jersey, Harlem,
Young
Bronx.
B should sign. Oh, that would be interesting.
Drake should sign her.
That'd be hot. Really
cool, Cardi B.
Yeah,
give her some classy music. You like Nicki Minaj? Give her some shit.
Yeah, switch her up. I like Cardi B. I don't like the way she acts on the show, but I think she has potential to be good.
She
I
got
really
the fans.
Do. She got
already.
Yeah.
All right, so Young B, you might remember her from Chicken Noodle Soup with a soda on the side.
She's on the show now?
Yeah, she goes by Young Bianca Bonnie, trying to change her image up. The song is called Heard You.
H-U-R-D-J-U.
And she's given that, you know, New York.
Listen, no, really, I heard you. Stop playing, I don't wanna have to curve you. Drop top for the summer, still living with your mama, but you getting money, nigga, I heard you. So you keep a bad bitch, they hit couple honeys on a Louis no fit, I heard you.
Yeah. Ain't nobody really care what you're talking about. Nigga, I heard you. In the club on the couch, you're trying to show up. Nigga, I heard you. Nigga, I heard you. Nigga, I heard you.
Here we go again. I already said that I heard you. Whoa, whoa, watch it again. Wait, nigga, did you hear me? Acting like you bought it, I heard you. Acting like you got it, they heard you. Always messing with
Bianca Boni, heard you. Sounds, what you feeling?
Like it. I like her flow. I don't know if she's as marketable as the other ones, but I like her flow. Her flow's better than everybody's to me.
Yep.
As far as more fluent.
Yep.
Cardi B got that accent still heavy. She can't hardly speak her
and
words.
And she flow a little. Out of all three, I prefer Cardi B. I hope that her hair look horrible.
It, right, Young B?
Young B. Bianca. What the fuck
is that? Yeah, it was like they just glued
that?
The
a little something going on. That shit is not cool. That's her hair look horrible. Call me, girl. Let me hook you up. But out of all three, I prefer Cardi B. I see Cardi B with a little more longevity, and she has the better music video. She looked like she invested more in her video or whatever. Even though the same producer, it's the same
video. But different budgets.
But you can tell the different budgets. Different budges, different followers.
Cardi got that world following her right now.
Right. Cardi B is the best on the list. Right. Cardi B is the best on the list. Cardi B, whoever took the time to write out her you know, her concepts and stuff like that, they did a good job. Out of all three, I prefer Cardi B. Little B, she has to step it up a little bit. She's still living off of that chicken noodle soup type of vibe. Out there, shaking. You Harlem shaking and you Millie rocking.
You ain't even really rocking.
Yeah. She going
Harlem shaking. Like,
see, I put her.
I did that in 10 years.
For me, the three of them, I put Bianca at top, right for right now, because Cheap Ass Weave, I'm never listening to that song.
But the kids
ever.
Will.
That's fine. I'm personally not, and as a DJ, I'm never spinning that
cheap
song.
Ass weave.
Cheap Ass Weave.
Anywhere.
But now, Bianca's song, that beat, I don't even need to put her on the track. I'll just spin
that beat. Right, but it's all about being a lyricist, though.
Yeah, true. But I mean, what she's saying, I mean, compared to what Cardi B's rapping about, they're equal to me. But the thing about Bianca that I do like is she's been in the game a little long. She's a little more seasoned. She came. She knows her crowd. She knows that people know her from the chicken noodle soup. So she gives you a taste of it. Now the second single, I need to see something different. But I think it's all going to come down to who your team is, and I don't think Young B has the team. I think Cardi B about to get the team.
Yes.
So, but right now, Young B, I feel like you have it, and
she
you can
step
run
it
with
up.
It, but you got to step
and change talk that to Remy hairstyle. Or something. Yeah.
But I do like that Young B and Cardi are like cool on the show. So if they did a song together,
that will probably work.
Sounds.
What's up?
Yeah, we sounds it's all about man. Sound.
Get this mic right. Yeah, we right there. Yes, sound sir. Check. You know, I'm all about the microphone.
You stay working.
Yeah, I'm trying to take a break.
I mean,
really.
But my question is how do you take time for your own music?
It's a lot of time, actually, because I don't really go out too much. So I'm in the studio a lot when I'm not working, playing 2K. or you know what I'm saying?
So rewind it back for me. So growing up, is that the type of person you always were? Were you someone who was into the sound and the music? You didn't need to really be out and about. It was more, I'm focused. I have a goal. I know what I want out of life.
Nah, I probably think like when I was young, I was an athlete. So I just really wanted to play ball. And I didn't really, my parents did music, but I was kind of embarrassed of them, you know what I mean? Not embarrassed like ashamed, but just more embarrassed. Like they were singing, they gospel singers, you know what I'm saying? So, and they
like it wasn't cool.
Yeah, what they wasn't singing the shit out. What was that?
A preacher kid, pastor kid,
MK minister's kid.
Minister's kid. Okay, yeah. so you know about the goodness.
Yeah,
okay,
I know about the goodness. The goodness of the Lord.
The Lord.
But so my parents are always like. We had no babysitters. It wasn't money like that. So we had to come to the shows. And,
who are
so
your parents?
Horrible. Charles and Lolita Kobe. They're split right now. But, I mean, they're not right now. They're split forever, I guess. Mm-hmm. But, they didn't have babysitters. So we had to come to the shows. And they always used to just call us out. My little beautiful boys. You know, stand up. Uh-huh. And I'm like, oh. I'm looking at my little brother like, man, why do we got to keep doing this shit? Like, I hate them. You know what I'm saying? And I used to I grew up hating music, like hating like just the whole thing of music.
Really?
Yeah, I grew up hating it. And then
so where
do
did
it.
The love for it start to trickle back in?
When you I got think, your own sound, your own?
No, I think when I got cut from the basketball team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, when I just knew that, I was at a peak. I felt like physically, like I'm not tall. Some people are just gifted to play basketball. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like it has to do with like brain. It's like a genius thing. It's like mind eye coordination, hand eye coordination. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like you can just shoot the ball perfect. You know exactly when it leaves your fingers. How hard you got to shoot it,
yeah.
Go all net. Like,
man, I wish.
There's a whole science,
it's a science to
yeah. being an athlete. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? So I kind of knew my weaknesses, and I knew I wasn't going to continue to go hard with playing basketball. So I was like, I need to find something else. And I was just working for a while. I was writing in high school. I was starting to get, like, a little swag with the rap. I was listening to Jay-Z a lot, and mm-hmm. I was writing. And then I think I need it on my own beats. That's pretty much every story. Like, you need your own beats. Mm-hmm. I was writing instrumentals.
Yeah.
And it was like, man, I want to get my own beats. Fuck it. Mm-hmm. We're writing all these Dipset instrumentals. And me and all my boys I grew up with, was crazy. It was a crazy time. And
I can already just imagine your age now that you just said Dipset instrumentals.
Yeah. Yeah. Just yep. Like, I'm in freshman in college. Like, I'm a singer. This is about a time where a little bit after I was in college, after the sex tape, after the R. Kelly sex tape, it was that far back. I was in high school, you know what I'm saying? Like, didn't even know what this shit was. So I was just starting to make beats, and I thought the beats was hot, and I'd bring them down to the dorm room and show my homies, and they was rocking with them. But, you know, they probably was weak, you know? But I thought they was hot.
Right.
So yeah. I think when I started coming down to the campus and showing my homies the beats, that's when I just start falling in love with making beats. And I just kept going back to my crib, making them, and then, you know, I met the right people in Atlanta. Met Usher, and that's what happened.
See?
And so how does that kind of priority-wise work out in this field, really? I mean, You go into it, you're writing for yourself. Then it's, okay, well, I want to start making beats. And you start making beats, and you start becoming great at that. And then people start wanting you for this one box. And then you become known for this box.
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, wait, now I'm in this box. Yeah. How do I get out of this box?
But I think...
What did you say?
No, I just think that at the time when he started doing beats, it was a good time in music.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Record companies were still involved with artists. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? They were still looking for people to produce and sign, and they had budgets. So I think during the time that he came out...
I actually had money.
He had money. So I think that's probably what helped... shoot him to where he is today, honestly. Am I right or wrong?
You're definitely right. I think and actually 2016, this is year, makes it 10 years since I got signed my first deal.
Wow.
So I gotta celebrate about that, and I've been living the same way ever since. Every day I live the same life every day.
How'd you
link up with Usher?
Through his A&R, Keith Thomas. He was a up and coming guy, and just it was his right-hand man, his best friend.
Yeah.
He grew up with, and he had a guy group called One Chance. And
yeah.
They were just looking for beats, and I just happened to be in the right area, the right place, time. Right time, mm-hmm. And I was just submitting so much tracks. They liked one I did with a co-producer with this producer. Her name is Chocolate Star, female producer, too. We produced it together. I still haven't got paid off of it.
That's okay.
10 years ago. You know what I'm saying? I don't even know if the money's in a black hole somewhere.
Right.
There was like 12 writers on it, so it was a big dispute. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to get everybody, like, especially now, in separate parts of the world,
mm-hmm.
to sign on one piece of paper. It's crazy. So I pretty much, that was my first, I guess, pay my due to get in the game.
Do you feel that the changes in the industry today, do you feel that it's better today than it was back then? Or how do you feel as far as for people who are producers and stuff like that? Do you feel that that the record companies and A&Rs and stuff should get more involved again? Or do you like the freedom of being able to do what you like, however you like, without without walls? Because you see both sides. So it's like, what do you
many frustrations I have with the way the industry is right now. When I came in, I really didn't know anything, the business of it. I just knew I was good at making music. They did put me in a box because, you know, honestly, I found out you can make money from producing. So,
mm-hmm.
of course, I'm going to go to – I didn't have a job. I wasn't going to the NBA. I wasn't doing none of that. So I'm like, man, I'm not trying to work in this cubicle job, you know, and work for another man when I can make beats and just get a check. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I did put more focus into, like, making the beats. And in the industry at that time, man, it was just at the end of the good era. Like,
mm-hmm.
the era where they still have food budgets.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't go nowhere in a studio session with a big artist and, no, they're not going to have a food budget because labels just don't have that money laying around anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just, and that's almost like a per diem saying thank you for putting your labor in today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if we don't use this record, we at least fed you, mm-hmm. took care of you for the day. And that was a gratitude that used to be the love, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But now that we ain't got that, it's just even less love. It's like, we need your tracks. If you okay, this is what we got. If you don't, we can find somebody else to do it for cheaper. And that's kind of how the game has gotten. And I thought when I got into it, it was the more experience you get, the more
respect you have and pay.
Yeah, that's how in any other business field, you know, the more experience you get, the more pay. But in the music, sometimes it kind of spins the other way. Mm-hmm. It can be the more experience you get, the more your price is, oh, he's too expensive, he's too difficult. Let's find this guy here. Yeah. He's hungry.
And then they spend the money on the pitch story on this kid of, oh, well, we're going to turn him into the new because he's in his basement. He's working on this. And it takes away from the legends and the greats. Just to kind of side note from this, but so I know you started with Usher, and 10 years later, I know Usher is about to come out with a new project. Are you working with him on this? Or
Big bro. That's the big bro always. He asked for my number last year, and it was random, and I was surprised he even asked for it. And we haven't talked in years before that. So, I think he heard something maybe I did that was out, and just, you know, proud big brother, like, man, he's doing his thing. And he told me, if you got some records or I need something. So, I'm not a guy that makes a lot of records at one time. I put my focus into a song. Man, I'll shoot you like 3-4 ideas. I'm not gonna shoot you 20, and that's my problem too. I gotta get better with that. But I'm just working on so many artists, I can't give every artist 20 songs. It's just impossible. So if I give you 3-4 songs, I'm giving you my best 3-4, and if you don't like them, I'm just gonna go somewhere else and keep it moving. But I sent him a record. He loves it. Sent the session to him, and he's been coming to the studio and stuff like that. So, like, we're working for sure.
So, how do you do? Just to kind of get into your brain, how do you create a song? Does it start with the words? Does it start with the beat? Does it start with a feeling? I mean, you know, okay, here we go. I'm writing for Usher's new album. You've already worked with him before, so now you want to give him a fresh new sound. But you still want it to be Usher. I kind of always ask this, and it's just a question that never gets old to me. How do you get in the zone to write music for Usher versus saying, you know what, that's more of an Usher track, I'm going to keep that one for Usher. This sounds more like a Sierra kind of track, I'm going to send that over to Sierra, but this one's a soundtrack.
Right. I think me being an artist has helped me out a lot, because now I just don't write records for people no more. I write them for me, and then if I feel like, man, or I'll talk to my team, I'll talk to Stacey, who's here right here. She's my
assistant
A&R / but we'll be discussing records and be like, man, that record's hot, but I think you should give it away. Or I think somebody else bigger would kill it. You know what I'm saying? And then that's a decision I got to make. And I just feel like...
Has that ever been a hard decision for you?
There
have been some songs where you're just like, Stacey, no. And she's like, yes.
Yeah, I get it. It's so... Being an artist, you get...
Like, yes. No smile either. She like, several.
Being an artist, is I'm sensitive about my shit.
Right,
so
right.
Sometimes if someone asks me, man, who you getting that record to? I'm like, nigga, that's mine. Like, that's my song. Like, I'm not giving it to nobody. So if someone thinks... it's for somebody else. I'm starting to get that artist mentality. Like, man, I want it for myself because I think it can promote my sound and my brand. And at the same time, you know, I don't want to feel like I'm stepping on people's toes or try to, like, you know, compete. I just want to put my music out there. And if they like it, y'all got relationships with me. Call me up. We can work. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to give you the same heat like I always do. But sometimes I got to put some extra heat out so people know what I can do. And I think that's been helping me out. Give records to people, because I got like 30 records I write per project, so it'd be records just lingering and just hanging, so I can just make money off of them.
I want to play a song. The song is called Rolex. Tell us a little bit about the song. Where did the idea come from? Why did you want to put this single out?
Rolex is a favorite, one of my favorite songs in the past period, of Creep sample. So I brought it to my producer, Reno. Reno is a new producer I got. He banging. He did my whole next album. It's coming out like in spring. And so I brought him the sample. I looped it. And he just made the beat around it.
Can you turn it up a little bit?
Let's take a listen.
But when I was thinking about it, you know, I want my girl to be on my arm. She got to, you know, she got to be bad. Like, a little, you know, she's my reflector. Worth every damn of it. Can't help but stare at you. You look good on me. Just like a rolling. Just like a rolling. Just like a rolling. You and me shine. When you and me shine. You get better with time. You get better with time. So pretty in the face. Presidential like your shape. I might take you out today. Show you off cause you're my baby. Never change on me. Never change on me. No. When other niggas say that they could put you on, you say no. I never change on you. Never change on you. No. I swear I never get old. That pussy must be gone.
Hey. You that's my favorite part.
Just like a rolling. Just like a rolling. when we did this, it was just natural. Like, I was freestyling. Everything's a freestyle. Just like a rolling. In my phone. Just
like a rolling. Make me put a band on. So were you just like looking at a Rolex at the time? And then like the chorus came to you and you were just like,
I can't afford a Rolex. I got too many bills. You know what I'm saying? But I always felt like that's the. When you made it, that's the watch.
Yeah, it is. You know what I'm saying? It is.
We were already thinking about the treatment, like just being broke, looking at the watches.
I love that sample.
You know who you know who I could hear singing that?
Who?
Omarion.
Omarion. Yeah, that's my guy.
I can hear Omarion singing that. Look like Nicki, or one like Beyonce. I might take you with me. Might spend a whole thing. Baby, don't tell me. I'ma hit that ATM till it's empty.
Hey.
Damn. Boom.
Just like a Rolex.
So you kind of.
It's 808 driven melody, some R&B shit, the I new like R&B.
You have
stuff.
A specific sound to you.
Yeah. I think I got it. I think I'm locked in right now where I want to sound.
And I feel like you have injected it a little bit into Justin Bieber.
Yeah, I have.
Tell us about that experience. I mean, because you worked with Justin Bieber back in, what, 2012?
I'm so embarrassed to admit that I am fucking...
Everyone's
I'm
on
loving that boy.
But we can thank Sounds for that.
Sounds? I've done some of his records. Why did you do that to me? What song?
Purpose.
I did No Sense with Travis Scott.
Travis Scott.
That record, that's a crowd favorite.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's a single song. If it's a single, man, I'm going to be out of here.
It should
be. Hey, where
the
hell you going to go? You just going.
I'm going to the Cayman Islands. I'm going somewhere far away
from
humans.
So then how did that work as far as singles with Justin Bieber? Because I know he put out a bunch of videos for a bunch of the tracks. So that wasn't like a Beyonce thing? Like, all of my songs are singles.
Well, I mean, honestly, that's a real Michael Jackson Thriller, bad type shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, Bieber is the next class of that. So I plan on him having 7 singles off of it at least. You know what I'm saying? And not being selfish, saying I want mine, I think he got a couple other bangers on there that's just going to help his album sales go even more.
Yeah, but to be honest, when it's over. That one was definitely one of within the top three that I walked away from that album being like, damn, Justin, like you really did that.
Yeah.
And congratulations to you for being able to get that sound out of Justin.
He's dope.
February 14th is coming up. I mean, it would be too soon to say. I would love for it to come out for like that season. Around that romantic type shit, but
you heard it first.
Yeah, it's all good. I can't put the singles out. I'll just make them. Yeah.
Exactly. All right. So you know, Justin Bieber. Let's talk about someone else. We got Jeremiah.
Jeremiah.
Excuse me.
Man, that boy be having problems with people saying his name.
Shout out to the boy Jeremiah.
Yo, shout out to my man Jeremiah. Man, see what's that? Good, bro?
This is
Chicago.
Always an interesting like look back for me. But to see people who work, who started off heavily behind the scenes in the industry, working together, I love seeing that. But like to work on a track with Jeremiah, who already has his own kind of sound and feel to his music, how does that kind of work for the two of you? It's either like a playground when you two are together, and it's just like what?
It's like a 1-on-1 game with somebody really good, and it's like. Damn, you good. And he's just challenging me every time. And at the same time, I'm good at what I do, too. So I play him a beat that he automatically writes to. And then me, I'll try to improve, you know, or try to, like, you know, go in on a beat. And then Jeremiah don't like that. You know, like, none of that. He's like, give me the beat just how I heard it. He said, man, something ain't right. And his pocket has to be so perfect when he writes. It's funny as hell, but it's still fun. When I work with him, it's a little meticulous, but that's my nigga.
So you said you're working on your newest album.
Yeah.
And what's the title of that, and when can we expect that?
New title of the project.
Okay, you gonna pull it out your shoes?
No, my fault, man.
He got
shameless
stuck.
Plug. Getting on.
You got Macy Gray coming up.
Nah, ain't, nah. I got a project called 100, and it's special. It's coming out. I already got it done. It's getting mixed right now.
Wait, but like, now let's rewind this. So my favorite TV show of all time is Lie to Me, and it's about reading micro and macros on people. So when you said it's coming, you leaned back like that and you had the smirk on your face like it was just loaded.
Whoa,
so I'm
man,
trying to figure out.
We sitting on this shit, and it's like sitting on a fucking volcano.
How like, long you been sitting on this album?
Man, not that long. It's just I'm so ADD with the music. I'm always making new music. So I put a project out for October, a little 7-song project. It was called October. And that's the last time I put some music out. So I felt like it's 3-4 months. And that was just something for Taylor for the month of October. So I didn't want to. I needed to make something outside of that. So I'm like, man, all right, let me just give him Rolex or something just to, like, something out there, period. Just let him know I got something coming. But this project, I did it with Reno. Shout out to Reno again. Reno is my producer. And he did a project. We were working on a lot of other artists, and I just realized when I was working on his shit, I looked at all the tempos. All the tempos were 100 BPM for some reason. I'm like, this is weird. Like, why are all these songs the same tempo? They're totally different flavors, but it's, like, still on that same tempo, same bounce. I'm like, I got to put this out. We got to call this 100. It's got to be. And people might think 100 means, like, the term of just keeping it real. It has nothing to do with that shit. They're just the songs that we did were just at 100 BPM.
That BPM shit.
Yeah, yeah, beats per minute for people that don't know. That's how people make beats.
Is it easy for you to transition from being a producer to now going into the artist side of it? Being that you're so anal and so in particular, and is it easy for you to work with different producers? Being that you're a producer by yourself, do you pick that whole thing apart, or do you let the producer that you chose to just do them and let them create for you without you picking it apart?
It is a challenge for me to just not try to improve something or just like, but I think over time, and this is thanks to Sierra and a few other people that gave me a little more confidence in my writing when I wasn't really, and Usher too. Usher gave me a lot of confidence. Just songwriting. I got to my second deal strictly off of strong songwriting. So I was already working that transition, and nobody knew that I was, you know, now instead of being the man just making the beat, I was in the booth putting lyrics on the songs, getting placements like that. So I'm like, all right.
Which arguably off of Sierra's number one album of her career, I would say, her sophomore album.
Yeah, and Sierra, I mean, it came to a point where Sierra was doing a lot of mixtape stuff. This is before the Basic Instinct drop. She was doing a lot of stuff with Waka Flocka. Mm-hmm. Like, she was just remixing songs. And she literally was just coming to me asking me, can you help me out? Every song. And I literally just started writing more and more. And I started working on my first project. Never came out. It's still unreleased music. This probably never see the light of day. There was some bangers on there, but they're just so outdated. They'll never come out. Mm-hmm. So when I started writing, that's when I felt like, man, maybe I could be an artist. And then I had a couple executives that were at labels that were telling me, oh, Sounds, you should do it. And I was like, man, I'm making money making, producing, sitting, being lazy. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can make money like that. And then, I don't know, something in my head was like, I'm not getting my sound out enough. And I might get 3-4 placements out of a year. They might be on A-list or, you know, A-list artists, but that's 4 songs out of a whole 365 days of a year. Like, this, I got to be possibly be making more than 4 songs a year. You know what I'm saying? Of course. So it would be a disservice for my music just sitting in a fucking catalog, just collecting dust. And then so many artists, I go shop my music around. They like, man, that record's crazy. That's hot. I don't know if it's for me. I don't know if it's for me, though. I'm like, if it's hot, who's it for? You know what I'm saying? Like, if it's not for you, then it's got to be for somebody. You know, fuck it. It might as well be me.
Yeah.
So that's when I got the mentality. And then I actually went on tour with Jeremiah and J. Cole this summer. Just doing more stuff like that, just like being behind the scenes, watching artists, sponging it in, seeing how they talk to crowds, seeing how they handle interviews. Like, just going off a tour, I got like so much confidence just to perform in front of people. Because I seen them performing in front of 20,000 every night. And it's like, it's...
But putting yourself in a room, you know what I mean? Even if you have that energy, putting yourself in a room and locking yourself in with the... It does get to a point, if you aren't doing it constantly, you're going to be nervous to be able to do that. Yeah. So getting yourself back up there and oiled up.
Putting that 10,000 hours, you know? You can't just come in and jump in and want to be an artist. Mm-hmm. Not want to start from the bottom. Like, I didn't want to come in as Sounds. I honestly should have changed my name, really, if I wanted to come in an artist and come straight. But I was like, people know me by that, so exactly. I might as well just keep going. But I want to start from the ground up. I'm trying to I put my music out just as an artist like anybody else would. Mm-hmm. I'm using other producers. I barely produce my own shit. I don't like producing my shit because I go into moments of the year where I'm an artist and I'm a writer. Mm-hmm. And I don't touch a beat. But right now I'm in beat mode. Like, I've been making beats like 10 beats a day. Oh, and I ain't been doing that in a long time. So...
You said something earlier. We got to wrap up to that. I really want to get this out there. You said something earlier where you said you started noticing that, you know, these legendary people, the, you know, industry would just kind of say to them, we can get somebody cheaper. In 2016, I always get into this conversation with people. I always say sometimes you got to pay your dues, and by paying your dues, it's knowing when to do certain things for free or trading, learning how to trade
barter.
In this industry.
Barter is smarter.
Barter is smarter. Hey, you know, what's some advice you would give to someone out there who is trying to start? Because I see a lot of these kids coming up not understanding that barter system and understanding that. Sometimes in order to get where you need to get, it takes patience. It takes sitting back and really understanding your craft and your career and who you are as an artist. If you could say something kind of to that in reference to you.
Man, I'm just shooting a documentary right now about that. So I think I would tell the young people, really know what you're getting into. Master your shit. You know, they're not going to pay you.
Literally. Make sure your shit is mastered.
Yeah. I was reading a self-help, watching a self-help video, and he was talking about, he said that one who's like a master at his craft will sit amongst kings. You know what I'm saying? And it made sense because if you're a master comedian, you're not going to, he said, you are not going to perform for the regular people. You're going to perform for kings. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So like, if you're really good at what you do, you're not going to be making beats for regular average Joes. You're going to, the best are going to want your shit. So be the best. If you make do makeup, you know what I'm saying? Like, until you be the best at what you do, people not going to be knocking on your door.
Mm-hmm. And you're working with a new upcoming artist?
Yes.
Can we talk about that?
Yeah. Leanne V.
Leanne V. Okay, I didn't know.
Yeah, Leanne V is brand spanking new to me in my eyes because, you know, she hasn't really been on the spot as on a scene as an artist. Mm-hmm. So I'm like,
so what is that like now? Because I'm just sitting here like, boy, when you gonna focus on your stuff right now? Like, how do you keep it
all contained? See these things are I have teams. That's why you got a team. When you got a team, you can handle more things. Me, I have my teams add up. Everybody brings something to the table. I got producers, writers, A&Rs, everybody, interns. We got people there. So when I'm working on Leanne is, it's a professional. She's coming three, 4 hours a day. She's not staying in the studio all night. We got something ready for her to cut. She's coming and doing her work like a professional out. So that gives me more time to just edit on other shit and, you know, spend my time. And I got my producers. I bring them stuff. Like, man, this needs some drums on it. Hook this shit up. Like, I'm more of a, like, a facilitator now. Okay. Now that I know how to, like, manage and shit. So the envy was never a situation where it was a burden on taking. I was still writing my own records. And it was December, too, so the industry was closed down. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't really write for people when there's no real deadline or, like, when's the album coming out? Like, mm-hmm. I'm more on that type of shit. If the album not coming out and y'all just want me to start up, nah. I'd rather come at the end.
I feel you.
I'll come at the end, you know what I'm saying? So I can just like see what y'all got and see what y'all
the
missing.
Direction in which we're going. Yeah. Okay, so you said you're working on a documentary, a new album. Where can fans follow you and what are your social media hashtags?
People can follow me on Twitter, Sounds Dope with a Z, SOUNDZ, DOPE. And then my Instagram is Sounds by Itself, thanks to my man John and Bieber, because they tried to steal my name on that.
So I did see somebody did try to steal.
Cyber Squatters, they out here.
And then to check out all your music?
My music, my SoundCloud is soundcloud.com/soundsdope again. And then it has a lot of new music. I got, like, again, the new Tape 100 is coming out. New Bieber stuff, new Usher stuff, new Trey Songz stuff, Tinashe stuff, new Seven stuff.
Yeah, I saw Tinashe.
New Jeremiah
what's
stuff.
What's going on with the 7th Streeter? Can you give us a little something?
I love her.
Like, me and her, we like 6 records in right now.
Really?
Fire.
Okay.
All fire. And Jeremiah's been helping writing. So she's got a man's perspective. And I think she's got what Timbaland and Aaliyah got right now.
Really?
When they had Static and they had Jeremiah's like that Static. He's the person that's putting it all together, giving it that male perspective from a male perspective from a woman's voice. We know what we do right. to women. So she's talking about what we do.
Right.
So we can kind of correlate and agree with it at the same time as other girls is like, yeah, he did do that. You know what I'm saying? So
son of a bitches.
And she got a big song on there too, talking about just self beauty, inner beauty, and self esteem. That I think like songs ain't being touched on stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's needed. Think it's gonna be big.
That's needed.
And then, are we gonna get any visuals from you coming soon?
Yeah, we got like two visuals.
Ooh, what coming. We got?
I got a visual called "All I Want." It's off of 100. All I Want is fire. I just can't wait to drop it. It's
you
dope.
Send it to us when you drop.
Definitely gonna send it. And then, I got "Kissing on Your Neck." It's a video. It's off my EP "Slow
That's
My Dad."
Hard. Yeah, sad.
Yeah. So I've been waiting to drop that. We just really wanted to drop it on the right platform.
"Kissing on Your Neck" should be Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Maybe I should drop the video for Valentine's Day.
Yes. Boom. "Kissing on Your Neck." I mean, that's just gonna be a whole lot of that going on.
Be careful. Find out what Stacey about to say about this.
What Stacey? What?
That's perfect.
"Kissing on Your Neck" right on Valentine's
Black Hollywood Live, man. I did.
Making moves and making magic. Sounds, thank you for coming through.
Yay. Appreciate y'all, man.
Make sure
fun.
You guys check Sounds out. Ever at Sounds. Sounds dope. You guys can also hit us up at BHL Online at BHL The Beat on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Hit me up everywhere on social media at DJ Jesse J.
Hey, you can find me on Instagram at Queen Wink, Snapchat at Queen Wink, and on Twitter at Queen Live.
Twitter.
You can follow me at Poppy Watts, P-A-P-I, Watts, W-A-T-T-S, on all social media. We out here, man. Let's get it.
Boom. Thank y'all for tuning in. See y'all next week.
They go to Brim.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagram at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Music Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.